This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us for Family Policy Matters. This week, we are pleased to continue with part two of a powerful presentation given by former U.S. Senator and 2012 presidential candidate Rick Santorum at the North Carolina Family Policy Council's Major Speakers Dinner event in Raleigh, North Carolina on March 26, 2015. Senator Santorum is co-founder of Patriot Voices, a grassroots and online community of Americans from across the country who are committed to promoting faith, family, freedom, and opportunity. And he is co-author with his wife, Karen, of a brand new book about his special needs daughter, Isabella, entitled Bella's Gift, How One Little Girl Transformed Our Family and Inspired a Nation. Now we go to Senator Rick Santorum.
I want to share with you another topic that I think is maybe the most important topic that we're dealing with in our culture today. And one that, if we get wrong, and we're in the process of getting it wrong, will have devastating consequences for the future of our country. I'm a CEO of a movie company, Echo Light Studios. And the first movie we made and we distributed last year is a documentary called One Generation Away. It's a movie about religious liberty in America, based on Ronald Reagan's speech, A Time to Choose, where he says at the end, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. And we chronicle events that have happened just in the last year, things like military chaplains and cake bakers and florists and the cross at Mount Soledad in San Diego and what's going on our college campuses, what's happening in at the Hobby Lobby case. We list all of these examples and have people discuss the threat to religious liberty. I don't think we recognize. Sometimes I feel like on a variety of issues, we're like the frog sitting in the pot. And the heat gets turned up so slowly, we don't recognize what's happening in our society. Ladies and gentlemen, religious liberty has never before been under assault like it has today. And you say, well, and I hear this all the time, well, you know, it's a pendulum. You know, the pendulum swings back and forth. Ladies and gentlemen, this pendulum has never swung before. This is a new pendulum. And this pendulum is one that I fear if we get wrong, if we allow it to fester, if we allow it to continue to swing, it will, like most pendulums, pick up momentum as it swings down on us. Since that movie was released in the fall, I could have made three or four other movies. By what's happened since, the number of cases is beginning to accelerate. Everywhere I go, I hear about a case of what's going on in the imposition of religious liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, the freedom of religion is the first freedom. It is the freedom by which all other freedoms flow. If you do not have freedom of conscience, what good is freedom of speech? If you not have freedom of conscience, what good is freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, if you can't write and assemble and speak about what you believe to be true? And let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, they are not going to back down. They are not looking for tolerance. They are going to force conformity. They are trying to teach, they're trying to change the laws of this country to suggest that anyone who holds a biblical worldview on certain issues is the equivalent of a bigot or a racist and will be prosecuted accordingly. We had a case, one of the cases that we highlighted in the movie, was a cake baker in Oregon. The cake baker in Oregon refused to participate in a same-sex wedding, and as a result of that refusal to participate, the community rallied to put her out of business with the encouragement of the local government, who during this time of where her business was under threat the Department of Labor in the state of Oregon said that she was discriminating and that she needed to be rehabilitated. Ultimately, just a few weeks ago, she was finally found in violation of the Oregon statute and fined $150,000. This is going on everywhere. And the question is, for us, what are we doing about it? You can always go back and look at the changes that have happened in society, whether it was the life issue, now marriage, religious liberty. Say, how did it happen? There are people in this room who I'm sure went to elementary school, and there were Bibles in that elementary school, and they were taught right and wrong from a biblical perspective. How is it that we went from a country that was fundamentally sound in our virtue, there was broad acceptance of what was right and what was wrong, to a country that is disoriented at best and now embracing falsehood as truth? How did that happen? Ladies and gentlemen, the reason America is the way it is today is because we let it get that way. There are far, far more of us than there are of those who want to transform America. But we are content. We have our lives to live. We have our businesses to run. We have our children to get through school. We have enough. We're busy. We've got all sorts of things going on. We're just too busy. And by the way, what happens to someone in New York who loses their business because they won't make their barn available? Or what happens to the fire chief in Atlanta who gets fired because of a book he published? What happens to the churches in Houston who have their sermons subpoenaed because they disagree with the mayor on her bathroom bill? What happens there doesn't affect me. How does someone else's marriage affect my marriage? How does it? Do you know a majority of children being born out of wedlock today are now born to cohabitating couples? Well, why wouldn't that be the case if marriage has nothing to do with children? Why get married before you have children? There's no correlation anymore to marriage and children. A majority of American kids today are going to grow up without a father in the home. Well, why should they? There's no correlation between fathers and mothers in marriage. You can say, well, Senator, what can I do? I mean, I'm only one person. I'm here in North Carolina. What can I do? One of my favorite lines is, every day we get up and we tell ourselves lies so we can live. And we have convinced ourselves that we are simply powerless. And the bottom line is, they want it more than we do. They want to change this country more than we want to preserve and save it. Let me assure you, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to happen quickly. Before you know it, it's going to happen. The Supreme Court's about to make a decision on an issue that I wrote about back in 2005. Yes, I write a lot of books. 2005, I wrote a book in response to a book you may have heard of called It Takes a Village. I wrote It Takes a Family. And I wrote how the only thing left to stop the onslaught of a government elite controlling America, the only thing left that's fighting back, the only thing that's holding back the water, are two institutions, the family and the church, and a redefinition of marriage will destroy both. No, is destroying both. Do you know, I saw a survey the other day that 90% of American pastors agree with biblical teaching on all of the moral issues that we're dealing with in America today. Thanks be to God. But the truth is that 90% of American pastors also answered that they don't preach on it ever on a Sunday. There's no more time for timidity. If you're sitting at that pulpit and you don't have the guts to stand up for the truth, it's time to leave. Amen. And find someone else to take that place. The beautiful thing is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're here at a time when America needs you. America needs you, not people in uniform, not political leaders. I'm going to fight, but I can't do it alone. You're here tonight because you know this organization matters. This organization is leading the fight here in North Carolina. They cannot do it alone. And I don't mean just by giving money. Yes, you can give money. And you can give more money. But I mean thinking about what you really are being called to do. You know, I came to the United States Senate and I was, let's just say, a tepid believer. And several things happened to me my first year in the U.S. Senate. And I always say, I came to the United States Senate and I found the Lord. I know most people don't think he's there, but he is. I found the Lord, and here's what I learned. Because I'd never said the word abortion on the floor of the House when I was 4 years in the House. Never said it for a year when I was in the Senate. In fact, I vowed never to say it. I'd have represented Pennsylvania. I was the most conservative thing they'd ever seen in Pennsylvania. And the last thing I needed to do was to be one of those zealots on that issue. Oh, they'd let me vote that way as long as you don't say anything. That's the way it goes in the life issue, when the marriage issue. You can always vote that way. That's okay. The press won't really give you a hard time. It's when you try to change the law. It's when you try to persuade somebody. They hammer you. I knew that. So I said, I'm not doing that. And then I started to walk with the Lord. You know what I found out? Really interesting. I found out that God speaks in whispers. And the only way you really find what God's calling on you to do in your life is to get real close. People ask me all the time, Senator, what do I do? What are you asking me for? God's calling you to do something. He loves this country. You know he does. He's put his hand over this country. And we're walking away. Oh, you can say, I'm not. You know what the Lord said about those who are lukewarm? How many of you read Screwtape Letters? They're not trying to get good people to do bad things. You're good people. Devil's not trying to get you to do bad things. He's getting you to do nothing. That's a win. If you do nothing, that's a win. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't been given everything. We haven't even come close. And then you ask, why should God bless us? He tells us what he will bless. He tells us what we need to do to get his blessing. When you go home tonight and you either see your children or your grandchildren or you look at pictures of them, I remind you of the end of Reagan's speech where he said, I don't want to go into my elderly years and have to look my grandchildren in the eye and tell them what it was like in an America where men were free. And you think that's hyperbole, you think it's exaggeration. Sadly, it is not. And ladies and gentlemen, the most exciting part is, it's up to us. You're here in the state of North Carolina. It's a swing state. It's going to be an early primary state. You're fighting battles in the state legislature. They're real fights. You have a chance to make a difference for the greatest country in the history of the world. You have a chance to do something that no other civilization has done, which is head toward darkness and stop and turn it around. And one day you can say, I was there and I made a difference. God bless you.
You've been listening to part two of a speech given by Senator Rick Santorum at the North Carolina Family Policy Council's Major Speakers Dinner event in Raleigh on March 26, 2015. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to view a video of Senator Santorum's full speech online and learn more about the North Carolina Family Policy Council's Major Speaker Dinner events, please visit our website at ncfamily.org. Again, that's ncfamily.org.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.